And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Welcome to another edition of the Awakening Podcast here on American Family Radio. Well, there is a great deal to talk about, folks, today. But first, as always, let me thank you for your prayers, for your support, for all that you do to stand by American Family Radio, AFR, our podcast, all that we are trying to do to serve you and to serve our great country. I'm your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson, today, and look, I want to talk about just two subjects today, because that's really all I'm going to have time to get to, because both of them require fairly extensive discussion, and if I get to anything else, it will be by way of footnote to those. I want to talk about the hearings that are taking place, particularly Pete Hegseth's hearing that kicked this whole thing off. And I want to talk about some of the travesty in that. And then, of course, I want to talk about these California fires and what we are learning about exactly what has gone down out in California. And I want to give you a perspective on that that I know has not been shared before. First of all, as I was recording this program, Pete Hegseth was being interrogated, if you will, by some in the U.S. Senate about his background, his qualifications to be Secretary of Defense. I am 100% behind Pete Hegseth's nomination. When I first heard it, I thought he is a bit young, but the more I've heard, the more I've thought about it, the more I realize we need a disruptor in there. We need somebody who's going to go in there and not try to go along to get along with all of the old boys network or maybe we should say the new gender network. Maybe we should call it that. But not try to go in there and placate all of these weirdo so-called generals and all these people who, I don't know, the country just doesn't, in many cases, not in all, of course, but in many cases, the country doesn't seem to be their priority. Their leftist agenda does. I mean, some of this stuff has come out during these hearings. Some of the stuff that had been put out by the secretary of the various armed services, telling them how many white men, too many white men in the, I mean, what in the world are we doing? How could anybody even put something that stupid, that wicked in writing? We have too many white men in the service, and we got to get rid of some of these white men. What? And Pete Hegseth has been consistent in saying meritocracy, lethality, effectiveness, that which contributes to our ability to stop or to win wars. And all this other stuff is irrelevant. But I want to point out four senators who I think have been particularly egregious in their questioning of him. And there are probably some others. By the time the hearings are over, by the time they're done, there will probably be some others to add to this. The first one I want to mention is, of course, Richard Blumenthal. I say, of course. And folks, forgive me, but I have a hard time talking about this man without just becoming angry, because Richard Blumenthal, and some of you may not remember him or may not remember the situation. When Richard Blumenthal was running for U.S. Senate, oh my goodness, this was a good while ago now. I think he's on his third term at this point. When he was running for U.S. Senate, it was learned that he had held himself out to be a Vietnam combat veteran and had repeatedly referred to himself as having when I returned from fighting in Vietnam, when I came back from Vietnam. Well, it turned out he never went to Vietnam. He never went. He was flat out lying about his service to make himself look good. Thinking, well, that's going to impress people. Well, it is impressive if you're telling the truth. You put your life on the line for your country? Sure. But when you're lying, it makes you the lowest of lowlifes. Because what you're doing is you're trying to appropriate the duty, the courage, the sacrifice of other people and wear that as your mantle as if you earned it. You are worse than a liar. I don't know that there's a word that is profoundly ugly enough to describe what you are when you do that. You haven't earned that accolade. You haven't earned that level of respect for sacrificial service. Others have. And you're stealing it from them. You're stealing it from them in order for you to get into a political position. Well, which just confirms what I always say about Democrats. They don't care about people. They care about their agenda and they care about power. And that's all they care about. And if it lends itself to implementing their agenda and it lends itself to getting and keeping and expanding their power, okay, great. But if not, he didn't fight in the Vietnam War, but he was going to say he did because he thought it was going to help him to get a very powerful position in the U.S. Senate. And then sadly, the people of Connecticut voted for him to their everlasting shame, voted for that idiot anyway, and elected him. And you had some veterans who vouched for him. I don't know how in the world you vouch for somebody who lies about something like that. I really don't. When I was running for office at one point, I had one of my personal protection agents was a former Navy SEAL. And I remember we were, I don't remember exactly where we were, but it was an open area. It might have been a fair or something. And we're walking together and, you know, we spot another guy with a Navy SEAL pin. And we stopped. And I'm thinking, you know, this is a brother SEAL. And he looks at him, asks him a couple of questions about where he served and what he did. And within 30 seconds, he said, you know, you need to take that pin off. Because you and I both know you never served as a Navy SEAL. And the guy just kind of looked at him. And you could tell this guy was angry. My guy was angry. And he didn't reach to take it off or do anything, but he just looked at him and said, you need to take that off because you and I both know. And I think he said something to the effect, you know, it is wrong for you to pretend you served as a SEAL when you know you didn't. And the guy just basically ignored him. See, that to me is a low life. Look, I'm a Marine Corps veteran. I am a Vietnam era veteran. In other words, I served in the Marine Corps during the Vietnam War, but I have never hinted at, suggested, wanted anybody to think it is appropriate. I've even had staff say, well, if you say you're a Vietnam era, people think that you're saying you went to Vietnam. So no, there's a difference between a Vietnam era veteran and a Vietnam combat veteran. I am not a Vietnam combat veteran. I never went to Vietnam. I never saw combat. You know, I tell you, folks, I could not live with myself to say that I was, but I know it's not true. I don't know. I don't know how anybody can do that. I really don't. I just don't get it. I don't get it. because I feel like I would be denigrating people for whom I have the utmost respect and admiration, who did go, friends of mine, who came back having been wounded and having mustard gas, caused them to have cancer and with all kinds of physical problems and ailments and PTSD. And then I'm going to claim that for myself, knowing that they did it and are suffering the consequences, and I did it. I didn't do it, but I want somehow to get the credit for it. I mean, Lord knows, Lord. I am not trying to paint myself as some kind of paragon of virtue. I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. I try to live what's right and do what's right. But that to me, I can't imagine. And to tell you the truth, folks, it makes me fighting mad when somebody would do that. And Richard Blumenthal did it. And by the way, he never apologized for it. He never said, you know, that was a terrible mistake on my part. I showed terrible character in doing so. I mean, he just mealy-mouthed it and tried to cover over it, but it was clear he just flat out had lied and didn't say anything until he was caught. Now, I said all that to say, and then you've got the unmitigated gall to step up and start questioning Pete Hegseth about his qualifications. I mean, give me a break. As far as I'm concerned, Richard Blumenthal's qualifications to do anything. I don't think Richard Blumenthal's qualified to be a dog catcher in Podunk, USA. And forgive me, Podunk, because that's probably doing a disservice to Podunk. And you've got the nerve to question this man who has indeed served in combat, had to shoot and been shot at, and seen his fellow combatants wounded, both physically and psychologically and emotionally. And then you've got the nerve to get upon your haunches, your Senate haunches, and look down on him and act like you are so superior to him that you can determine his qualifications. You can't even shine Pete Hegseth's shoes, Richard Blumenthal. In fact, better people are more worthy than shining his shoes than you'd ever be. So, I just had to get that one out there. Now, in his questioning, he tried to stay on financial matters, but I'm thinking to myself, if you had a modicum of conscience, you'd have said, you know what, I'm staying out of this one. I am not going to put myself out there to question this combat veteran because, I mean, who am I knowing what I did? At least he actually served. Break with your colleagues and support the man. And make a statement. Look, I learned true respect by making the terribly immature mistake of saying that I was a combat veteran when I was not. You are, and I want you to know, sir, that I honor you for your service. I tell you, you know what? He win my respect doing that. But they won't do it. Because again, they're self-absorbed. It's not about America. It's not about the people. It's not about those serving in our military. It's about them, their egos, their ambition, their power, their agenda. Why in the world people elect folks like that? I know why, because obviously their foolish hearts are darkened. Thinking themselves to be wise, they become fools, and their foolish hearts have been darkened. And Jesus said, when the eye is dark, the body is full of darkness. So they wallow in the darkness with the other people in the darkness. I mean, that's really why. Because they don't want to come to the light, because the light reveals that their deeds are evil. So they'd rather wallow in the darkness and hang out with the people in the darkness and confirm the darkness and call the darkness light. As Isaiah 5 says, they'd rather do that. So I just had to get that one out there because I just, every time I see the man, it just, I find it nauseating. I really do. Well, this woman, Mazzy Hirono, I mean, she's just a Marxist straight from the word go. She's the U.S. Senator from Hawaii. And she's just a straight up Marxist. And she tried to go after Pete Hegseth on all kinds of stupid stuff. And then a lot of the, she and another U.S. Senator hit him hard on women. Now, let me say what Pete Hegseth perhaps would never say, may or may not think, but let me say it. Let me say it in behalf of Christians. As a moral and spiritual matter, I don't think women ought to be serving in combat. I really don't. Period. Now, as a legal and constitutional matter, I don't think you can prohibit women from serving in combat if they fully qualify. Now, here's the reality. Very few are going to fully qualify. And some of the discussion that they had was about what the pack is that a combat veteran, or that is a combat soldier or Marine has to carry. They say they're carrying 100 pounds of stuff. Well, if you only weigh 115, 120, you can, I mean, it's not even rational to think that a woman that size could do that. And here's the reality, the underlying reality that Democrats have rejected, and they won't say it, they won't ever acknowledge it. But the reason why women are not, generally speaking, fit for combat is they are physically incapable of dealing with the rigors of combat and the physical demands of combat. Now, somebody's got to say it, because it's the truth. Now, again, as a legal, from a spiritual and moral matter, I would not put women in combat as a spiritual and moral matter. However, as a legal and constitutional matter in our constitutional republic, given the nature of our civil rights laws, I would say that the standard has to be, sure, women can fight in combat if they demonstrate the same level of physicality and ability that a man can, if they meet the same standards. Now, Pete Hegseth couldn't say the former, which I don't believe that women should be serving in combat. He may or may not believe that, but he couldn't say that. But he can say, we're not lowering standards. But this woman, Hirona, and another one of these U.S. senators, women, just went after him as if he was saying, we're banning women from combat. We don't want women in combat. Women can't be in combat. I'm just shocked that these women are so anxious to see women go in and get their heads blown off by the enemy. I'm just shocked that they think that that's such a wonderful thing that they're pushing. I mean, the reality is, you can fuss and argue about that all you want, but guess what? There are going to be precious few women actually on the front lines in combat if you hold to the right standards, you hold to the standards, because there are going to be precious few women who can meet those standards. First of all, precious few women who are going to want to do it, but of those who might want to do it, precious few are going to meet those standards. But they gave him a really, really hard time over that. As if he's, because again, if you don't say exactly what they want you to say, and you don't think in these politically correct terms, and you don't think in these identity political terms, identity politics terms, you are a hater. That's the game, see. You hate women. And then, of course, they got him on the other side with accusations of sexually inappropriate behavior toward women and drunkenness and this, that, and the other. And look, I think Pete Hegseth has admitted that there were times he drank too much. Hey, folks, I probably never said this on the air before, but there was a time in my life before I was saved, I drank too much. So that may be breaking news for some of you, but it's certainly true. Look, as far as I can see, Pete Hegseth has turned over his life to Jesus Christ, has found a woman with whom he is walking with the Lord, and is living a stable, moral, upright life. And we don't, it's just like with Donald Trump. We're not electing the Donald Trump of 30 years ago. And we're not seeking to appoint the Pete Hegseth of 20 years ago. It's Pete Hegseth today. It's the life he's built for himself now. Not what somebody might allege that he did 10 years ago, 15 years ago, but what he's doing now. Well, I tell you, here's another one I hadn't even thought about, but it's that you can tell, I don't hate anybody. I'm a Christian and I refuse to hate people. I love them all, but there are people I don't like. I don't like Richard Blumenthal. Yeah, I don't think Jesus liked most of the scribes and Pharisees. I think he loved them. I know he loved them, but I don't think he liked them. I think he found them to be tedious and wicked and didn't really want to be bothered with them. That's why he preached to them. He said, you know, you're whited sepulchres outside of, all clean and on the outside, but inside full of dead men's bones and all corruption. How can any of you escape damnation? He loved them, but he realized they were wicked and they needed to be spiritually dope slapped back to reality. So I don't like Richard Blumenthal. I'm not going to pretend otherwise. I've never paid much attention to this woman, Mazi Hirono from Hawaii, but I know what I've heard. I don't like her either. But here's somebody I can tell you I really don't like, and that's the senator from my great Commonwealth of Virginia, Tim Kaine. And he's another one. He had the nerve to go after Pete Hegseth with all these hypotheticals. And you know what it reminded me of? He kept asking questions like, well, if a nominee had in fact abused women, that would be disqualifying, wouldn't it? And it's like saying this. So if we learn that you do in fact or did in fact beat your wife, that would be disqualifying, wouldn't it? So no matter what you say, you look like an idiot. Because if you say, well, of course, then it sounds like you might be admitting maybe that you did beat your wife. I mean, this stuff is just, it's juvenile. And Pete kept saying, you know, that's a hypothetical question. That's a hypothetical question. That's a hypothetical question. If somebody did this, they would be disqualified. If somebody did that, they would be disqualified. I'm thinking to myself, what in the world? And he's spitting out all of these ridiculous scenarios and claiming that there are specific people who made specific allegations. So you know, my question would be, well, where are they? Where are they? Why aren't they at these hearings? Because you certainly want to trot out anybody you know will hurt him. It was watching Tim Kaine perform. And you know, Tim Kaine looked to me like he looked demonic. I'm serious, folks. He looked demonic to me. Just like a wild-eyed demon trying to bring down this young man who's sitting there with dignity, with integrity, no claims of perfection, but claims of loving his country. You can tell he got emotional at times, talking about his country, talking about the troops, talking about helping our warriors to be prepared to have the very best training and equipment, and to know that their leaders have their back. You know, one of the first things that happened when Barack Obama got elected was there were three Navy SEALs, and they went on trial at Norfolk Naval Base, which is not far from me. They put them on trial because apparently in arresting a terrorist, when they finally got him back to base, he had a busted lip. A busted lip, folks. A busted lip. Not a broken leg, not a broken arm, not a fractured skull. He had a busted lip. He resisted when they tried to take him in custody. And they put them on trial and court-martialed them. Well, thank God. I believe what ultimately happened was that the charges were ultimately dropped. I think they were probably dropped because somebody told Barack Obama, what, have you lost your mind? These are Navy SEALs. These are men of combat, men of war. You send them out to arrest a terrorist, and the terrorist comes back, and because he's got a busted lip, you're going to court-martial them? I was at those protests in behalf of those three Navy SEALs, saying that we should be giving them medals. But oh, no, because, again, just as the Biden administration, the military is full of extremists. The military has got too many white people in it. You know, these military people are dangerous. I will be so glad when this administration takes over, because some of these clowns, they just make your heart sick. They really do, because they are so full of themselves. There's not an ounce of patriotism in it. It's all about them and their agenda. Well, let me get one more out. I've gone on longer with this even because I got to get to these fires. But I want to commend Senator Kevin Cramer, Republican of North Dakota, because when he questioned Pete Hegseth, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, and I can't put this, I don't have the audio to put on the program, but I'm sure you can locate it. This is Senator Kevin Cramer, Republican of North Dakota, and when he began to question Pete Hegseth, he began with this statement. I'm paraphrasing, but something to this effect. I am glad that you are putting first things first. And I thought he was going to say, you know, you're putting America first. But he said, you are unabashedly, unapologetically making clear that Jesus Christ is your Savior. And I commend you for it. And I thought, wow, how often does that happen in a hearing before the United States Senate Armed Service Committee or any committee for that matter? I said, praise God. You know, to me, it's like he got it in the record. You are a Christian. You are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever may be your past and whatever mistakes you may have made, if anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. I want to tell you, I believe that Pete Hegseth will, in fact, be confirmed. And in fairly short order, I think he will be the first confirmation. And he will take over as Secretary of Defense. And I predict that he will do an outstanding job. Let me just respond briefly to this, and then I'll go on to some other things. I'll go on to that one other thing I said I was going to talk about. The largest organization he has run, I think he had about 50 employees, I think. And the Pentagon has 3 million. I think that's the number. But it's millions. And the last budget, the highest budget he ever managed was about $10 million. And the Pentagon budget is, what is it, $650 billion? And people say, well, he's never done anything that qualifies him to run such a large institution. Look, he made the point, and I'll make it as well. You don't need to have had that level of responsibility for a budget or a number of employees in order to be a good leader. And good leadership means that you put around you people who can help you with your deficits. In fact, Pete Hedges said, you try to find people who are smarter than you are in whatever ways you are lacking. You try to find people who are trustworthy. You try to find people who agree with your vision. And then you utilize those people in order to get the job done. I don't care if he'd been a prior Secretary of Defense in an earlier administration and he was an older man, he'd still have to do the same thing. He might know a little bit more about who's available. He might know a little bit more about what works and what doesn't. But that's the kind of institutional knowledge that you bring to bear when you choose the people you're going to have around you. You know, I don't think I'm as qualified to run to be Secretary of Defense as Pete Hegseth is, because I don't have combat experience and I don't have extensive military experience. I served in the military, but I don't think I wouldn't stand up and say, well, I'm just as qualified to do that job as anybody else. No. But not because I wouldn't know how to assemble a team of people to work with me if I was placed in that position. But I think he's qualified based upon his background and experience. And he can then assemble the team around him to do what needs to be done. You know, Barack Obama became president of the United States, and Barack Obama hadn't run anything as large as a corner store. Ever. And somehow he managed to be president of the United States without destroying the country. Whew. Thank God. Yeah, he had no qualifications to preside over a government the size of the United States federal government. But of course, what did he need? He needed a cabinet, and he needed a chief of staff, and he needed advisors. And I mean, you know, he assembled those people around you, and they help you get the job done. So I am not the least bit concerned about Pete Hegseth not being able to do this job because he has not managed anything as big as the Pentagon. How many people have managed anything as big as the Pentagon? Probably zero, but if there are any, few. I mean, maybe some of these, would you trust one of these big tech moguls to do it just because they've got big companies? I wouldn't. So he will be confirmed, and probably the next time you hear my voice on this podcast, I'll be talking about Pete Hegseth being in place and sworn in as Secretary of Defense, or should be very close to it. He won't get sworn in until, of course, after January the 20th, but I would say that he might get sworn in that very day, later that day, or maybe the very next day. So... There's my 2 cents on that. Now let's talk about these California fires, folks. You know, let me come at this a little bit different way than I have. By the way, oh my goodness, 24 people known dead, 16 missing at least. I believe the number is 62 acres of land, 62 acres of buildings. 62 acres, forgive me, 62 square miles is what I meant to say. 62 square miles. You know how big a folks, I mean, just wherever you are right now, just imagine 62 miles east, 62 miles north, 62 miles east, and 62 miles south a square, 62. That's a lot of space. I think it's around 11,000 buildings destroyed so far. I mean, this folks, this is cataclysmic. But here's what I want to say to you that no one else is really saying, but somebody needs to say it. This is where liberalism takes you. It takes you to a scorched earth policy. Because the Bible says the thief comes to, Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now, I am not in any way trying to suggest to you that the leaders of California, the mayor, the governor, mayor of LA, the governor, set out intentionally to burn the Pacific Palisades and parts of LA and the various areas that have been hit by these fires, that they set out to burn them to the ground. That we know that that's not true. I mean, they're not that stupid. But the point is, when your policies lack wisdom, when you don't have or you reject the wisdom of God, you really do go stupid and you make decisions that are going to be destructive. Now, look, folks, one historian was saying that when Americans began to populate California, they lost 4 million acres a year in wildfires. They got that down to 250,000 by careful management of the land, deforestation, grazing to get rid of a lot of the vegetation that would continue to grow and would become, in dry seasons, would become fuel for fire. They managed water properly to make sure that they had water. They did control burns in order to get rid of brush that they knew were a pending fire hazard. In other words, they did a number of things to manage their situation. Now, they were supposed to fill the reservoirs in and around these fires so that there would be plenty of water when the time came. And what most people found was that the fire hydrants themselves, and the firefighters found, was that the fire hydrants themselves were empty. Because, folks, when you are set, your heart and mind are set on the hoax of climate change, and you think you're saving the planet, and so you can't have animals grazing because you can't have two animals because, after all, they're spewing carbon dioxide into the air. And you can't mess with the water because, after all, you might affect the smelt fish. And you can't cut down trees and manage forestation because, after all, that tree is a living thing and you got to leave that tree alone because the tree huggers tell you don't do it. Because you're destroying the planet. And when you cut the fire department budgets while you're funding all this DEI garbage, you know, we got to take care of the LGBTQ, I call them the SPCG, sexual perversion, child grooming movement. And we got to make sure that all that funding is in place for them to pursue their sexual perversion with children and however they want to do it in schools and what. Got to make sure all that's covered. We don't have time to be funded, fully funding the fire department. See, when that is your thinking, that's where it leads. That's why I always say, I don't support leaders, judges particularly, for that matter, elected officials who are imbued with a radical ideological agenda that takes first place in their lives because that is what they want to do. No matter who it hurts, no matter what it does, that is what they want to do. Judge here in the Fourth Circuit, when they overturned our constitutional amendment defining marriage as a union between one man and one woman, said, I could not wait to get that case in front of me so I could overturn that constitutional amendment. Well, see, that was her agenda. Her agenda was not to decide cases and controversies fairly and in light of the facts and the law, come to just decisions. That was, no. Her agenda was to pursue the sexual perversion movement that she claimed herself to be part of. That was her motivation for being a judge. So you got these people, their motivation is social justice and racial justice and sexual justice and whatever other kind of qualifiers you want to put on justice, which needs no qualifier because you can't separate justice from God's righteousness because the two go hand in hand, and true justice is based upon the righteousness of Almighty God. So it's not social justice to be playing around with the gender of some child. That's social insanity. But when people are imbued with that, when that fills their heads and fills their hearts, that's all they know how to pursue. Everything else is secondary at best, maybe unimportant and irrelevant at worst, so that you never even get to it. Fires, what fires? Oh, we're too busy doing DEI stuff. I mean, it's obvious. The mayor of L.A., here again, the people voted for the woman, but she's just like the mayor of Chicago. I mean, these people don't have a clue. She's declaring an emergency and flying off to Ghana. I mean, my goodness gracious. Talk about trying to change children. A child would know better than that. And Gavin Newsom, you know, preening and pontificating. Somebody say, you know, the shoulder shift. Did you all see him, you know, shifting his shoulders back and forth? You know, the Bible in the book of Proverbs talks about a person who does all that. You know what they're saying? That they do all of that to fool you. All of that is meant to mislead you, to deceive you, to convince you that what they're doing is telling you the truth, but they're lying through their teeth. And sadly, the people of California are paying the price. Highest taxes in the country, highest housing prices in the country, and the least social stability. Crime running rampant. Oh, by the way, you know, they've got a problem with looting now, you know. They've even got looters apparently going out and stealing firefighter uniforms so they can loot with impunity. So people think, well, they're firefighters going in these houses and they're actually looters. And now they're saying, well, we're going to arrest looters. But I'm thinking, why arrest looters? You've already told people that looting was okay. You told them that during the George Floyd riots, that looting was okay. And that even stealing was okay as long as you didn't steal over $950 worth of material in one shoplifting stop. It would just be a misdemeanor. No problem. So you basically taught people that there's nothing wrong with theft. It's an act of social justice. It's an act of wealth redistribution. So why is it important now? Why all of a sudden are you, we're going to arrest looters, really? You, why arrest them? They're your children. You made them. I don't mean biological children, but you know what I mean. Yeah, they're your spiritual children. You created them. You told them this was okay. Now you're going to arrest them? Well, you know what that's all about. It's not, they don't believe in trying to preserve the property of the people who've been devastated by these fires. They have tried to preserve their own political futures. And they know people are disgusted with the leadership out there, and they're trying to figure out a way to make themselves look good so they don't get hurt by it. That's all. Yeah, we're going to crack down on looters. Really? That's a new one. That is a new one. Why? Shouldn't the rule be we're going to crack down on any looter who takes anything out of a house that's worth more than $1,000 in one sweep? You can always come back and get more later, But as long as in one sweep you don't take something worth more than $1,000, you're okay. Misdemeanor. We'll just write you a ticket. I mean, I know, folks, it sounds absurd, but let's face it. That's the ethic they've been living by. That's the culture they tried to create in California. And look, the landscape that you see in California, in those areas of those fires, that 62 square miles, the landscape that you see, folks, is the landscape of hell. Hell's much, 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 infinitely much worse, by the way. But this is the utopia that the left wants to create. This is where it ends. This is what they ultimately produce. Because what did Jesus say? A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. He said, but a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. And this is what's in the hearts of these people, darkness and death and destruction. Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil. The deeds of your father you will do. He was a liar and a murderer from the beginning, and the truth is not in him. What was he saying? It's probably not a single person in that audience who had actually committed an actual murder. But what he was saying is, that's where your attitude and your thoughts and your words and your actions lead to darkness, death, and destruction. Well, look, we pray for the people in California who have been devastated by this, and we pray that they will awaken and stop electing people who see them as nothing but pawns to be manipulated rather than people to be served. Well, the Great Restoration continues. The nomination process has begun for the president's cabinet, with Pete Hegseth being the first to sit. A new administration will be sworn in just a few days. And I believe that the people of the United States of America are buoyed by what they see happening around them, and their morale is increasing. I've even heard reports that recruitment in the military has increased significantly since Trump got elected, because people now know that the leaders, the civilian leaders of the military, will be people who have their backs rather than scratching their own backs. Look, God bless each and every one of you. I always enjoy being with you. I'll be back again next week for another edition of the Awakening Podcast. When I say next week, I mean tune in for a new program. Share this, by the way. Please share this with as many people as you can. But I'll be back for a new program on January the 22nd. But in the meantime, you know what to do, folks. Stand up, step up, speak up, and refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side. God bless everybody.